What's up, guys? This is Manish Paul Simon from Staying with Manish. This will be our first Airbnb podcast, and we have with us Andreas from Amsterdam. We're going to talk about Andreas's life and how he has been living for the past few years in India and his experiences. So over to you, Andreas. What's up? How you been?
Hi, Manish. Thank you for the wonderful stay in your house in Bangalore.
Yeah, I'm doing really well. We just did a run in the park, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's early morning over here.
Yeah, so is this your first time in Bangalore?
Yeah, it is my first time in Bangalore, actually.
So how are you liking it?
Yeah, I love Bangalore, except for the trucks. I hate the smoke coming from the trucks.
So when was your first time in India? Can you tell us about your experience, how you entered India and like your first day and everything? Was it like a new experience compared to where you were?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, go ahead, Andreas.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when I first arrived in India, first of all, it was May, and it was Delhi, and it was like 50 degrees. And I just couldn't understand India. Like, that was the biggest thing that occurred. There was so much happening, and I just didn't understand why it was all happening. And
you must have read a lot about India, right? Like in your history books and all that. Was it entirely different from what you read than what you experienced?
I didn't read anything before coming. Like I didn't know that much about India, actually. And I think that you only realize how little you know about India when you reach there, you know. India is really not something that you can learn from books, that I know for sure. Because India is not one thing. India is a continent, so it's everybody has their own thing going on here. So everybody has their own history, everybody has their own culture, and yeah, that's very very fascinating.
So can you tell us if you have like any best moments in India, like as well as your bad moments? You can start with the best moments.
Yeah, there are many best moments. I mean, like there are best moments when I was in Leh and I reached the highest motorable road with my friends. That was really nice, beautiful view. There was the time when I went to Nubra Valley, which is also in the Himalayas. Yeah, it's almost like the Grand Canyon over there. There was this time when I left my laptop in a cafe and it got stolen. And then 2 weeks after, I thought I'd lost it and I was just gonna get like an iPad as a cheap solution or whatever. I got a call from the cafe that this boy returned the laptop because he felt bad about stealing it and he was afraid that everybody in the village knew about it. And then I didn't pick up that same laptop for like 6-7 weeks. So I basically didn't have a laptop during the rest of my holiday, which only made it better travels. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those magical things, that basically tops for me. Like those are the best aspects of India for me.
So yeah, what are your plans? You were planning to stay in India for a while and work on a project. Can you tell us more about your project and all that?
Yeah, right now I'm in the middle of preparing my documentary about the future of India. It's basically about inventors or innovators that are doing impactful things in the country. Yeah, now I'm just basically lining up all the people that I want to interview and all the people that I want to film. And I think it'll keep me here for a while. After that, I don't know. I mean, I would like to stay in India for a long time. But if that doesn't make sense or if it's not realistic, then I just go back to the Netherlands and see what I can do there.
Nice. Yeah. Sounds interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's something that I've never done before, but I also don't want to jinx it by talking too much about the future and what's going to happen next. Like I really reached a point where I have to do the things that I have to do today in order to make the project work, instead of thinking about a long stay in India or things like that. So
nice, yeah.
Yeah, but I do feel at home, and coming back here was really great. I met way more people now than I did in my first stay in India. I've slept on people's couches. People helped me out majorly. Very hospitable, and they introduced me to their friends and showed a lot of goodwill to the project as well.
Yeah, exactly. People have this wrong misconception of India, like it's a very dangerous country and you'll always get robbed or stolen, like your stuff. But then there is the positive side in India, like, where you can meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like make a lot of friends.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So
that's the side I'm on, and that's what I wanna show to the world, basically, that. That there's a way of going about in India, and it involves, not being afraid.
Can you get away with only English in India? Can you, is it a good idea to learn Hindi and come over? Or?
I think Hindi will be a huge upcoming language. Yeah, I think it's a massively underrated language.
Right.
I don't know if it was as important or winning as learning Chinese like 10-20 years ago, because India's development is going very differently. But I think 10-20 years from now, you'll see people definitely choosing Hindi.
Okay.
Because India will be much more present in the global landscape, and they will definitely have more scope on them, and therefore people will be more interested in going there and even working there.
Okay, let's talk about Airbnb, like, having this conversation with someone from Amsterdam and in HBI layout in Bangalore, it's kind of unreal, but Airbnb is giving us this opportunity, like, to make the world a smaller place, to live in a locality as a local. What's the future of Airbnb? You think Airbnb in India is going to be like a flourishing industry?
Airbnb already is a flourishing industry. And that's because, hotel prices are too high for too many people. The crisis basically enabled people to be more open to renting out rooms in their houses. And the whole review system made it, peer-reviewed or safe. And therefore enabled the success of Airbnb. But in the future, as more and more people will get higher standards of living, I think, maybe hotels will slowly vanish, because houses will almost be as equipped as hotels. The only thing is that Airbnb does not necessarily benefit everybody. So, especially like in tourist locations, you have a lot of disturbances. And it basically only benefits landowners who live on certain locations, and other people could not do the same or make the same amount of money, therefore, increasing inequality. Yeah, the idea of Airbnb is, of course, very, very good. And I also like the fact that they put recommendations and experiences in the whole concept, because... as technology and AI start taking over more and more of our jobs, there won't be much left than to travel and to experience things.
I mean,
the only thing that has to be invented right now is the cure to boredom. And I think virtual reality will do a lot to cure that boredom. I think mobile phones are actually doing a lot to cure that boredom.
Yeah, if you travel and everything, it's fine. But if you are in a certain location like for a couple of years, then it would like drain you down, and traveling is really important for everyone.
I think getting out of your comfort zone and habitat is going to be the direct pursuit of happiness. I think the feeling of not knowing what's going to happen, I think that's the ultimate blissful feeling that you can have as a human being, and you can only experience that once the next step is unclear, or your next place that you're going to sleep is unclear. So I think that whole scene will definitely grow and grow. It's, the only downside is that you'll have huge spreadings of, population all over the place.
Yeah.
And you won't have any untouched places, because everyone will have surfed everywhere. Everyone will have beached everywhere. But I don't think borders will be practical.
So can you give us some tips on, like you travel a lot, right? So you carry stuff, and how do you go about your travels? Like, is there a way to be a little more smarter in traveling? Or can you give us some small tips?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like...
Do you use Airbnb always while traveling, or do you stay in hotels as well?
No, I never stay in hotels. Yeah. Yeah, I did stay in the Urban Pod in Mumbai. That was pretty cool. You sleep in like a LED-lit cocoon.
Oh, nice.
And that's your room. And just open like a hatchet, and then you just go inside your little spaceship.
Okay.
Which is really, really awesome. And it wasn't too expensive, neither. And it was very good service and everything. Yeah, traveling. I don't know. Like, I've relied on Indians a lot. Like, I'm not even gonna lie about it. And I also think that that's key. I think Indians understand really well how tough things can be in India to find your way or to, you know, get directions or whatever. So they are really helpful. And I just use that because, like, I needed to get to know new people. Yeah, I just accepted the help. And not only does it make your life easier, it also makes you enjoy the country more. And I think that many tourists or backpackers, they want to win in this country. You know, they want to have their own say in how their travels are going to go. But India just doesn't allow that. You know, India is not going to give you what you want. It's going to give you what India wants.
Yeah.
And accepting that was the key for me to enjoy travel here. So I'm not like, I mean, I borrowed this backpack, for example, from my friend Sebastian in Delhi. I knew I only had like a few appointments here in Mumbai, Pune, and Bangalore, so I didn't bring too many sets of clothes. I even forgot to bring my external hard drive. I forgot to bring my DJI stabilizer, which I could have used. So no, I'm not the best backpacker in the world, but I never forget stuff, so I always check my pockets, because like the worst that could happen for me is to lose something, like a telephone. I even got robbed, actually.
Yeah.
But it's like to not have my key with me, to not have my wallet with me, to not have my phone with me. Those are really like worst things that could happen, and That's why I always check that stuff, like passport. You just have to know where it is. And this one time, and that's also funny about this paranoia. So this one time somebody told me, hey, I should really keep your passport somewhere like really safe. And I just had it where I had it. You know, it was like, it was good enough. And then I listened to that person. I put my passport somewhere, you know, in a place that I would never, ever put it. And then I had a train ride to Calcutta. And I just couldn't find my passport, and I missed my train because of it.
Oh.
So, just, you know, make everything as comfortable for yourself as you can. Yeah, just enjoy the ride. That's basically the most important thing. But I'm very happy that I haven't been, like, really violated, or that something really awful has happened. No, I've been very safe.
Cool. Since you're from Amsterdam, and since... weed is kind of legal in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, that's
so
well said.
So you think weed should be legalized in India as well? Because nowadays kids smoke weed, which is laced with rat poison. And it's really bad for the head, you know. So if it's legalized and everything, you can get like pure forms of weed. So you think going forward, do you think it's a good idea to legalize weed? Because there is, it's got like a lot of uses and, you know, medical marijuana, it's not a plant which is, you know, researched a lot about. So you think it's a good idea? What are your views like?
Yeah, I think what you said with weed being kind of legal in the Netherlands is the right way of putting it, because it's not legal in the Netherlands. They just allow it to be sold, that's it. But that's something else than that it's actually constitutionally recorded. There's still massive amounts of people getting arrested or, you know, fighting wars over weed in Amsterdam and the rest of the Netherlands. So if India wants to legalize weed, and it should, because, I mean, like, I have to be really honest with you, you guys smoke way more than the Dutch people. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, here I sometimes walk into a normal restaurant and I just want to have like some porridge or something or some breakfast, and there are people, you know, smoking hash in the Himalayas. And that just doesn't happen in the Netherlands. Like, people smoke mostly at home or in a coffee shop, sometimes in a park, but not at breakfast in a regular cafe. That just doesn't happen.
But that's mostly in the Himalayas. You don't find that in cities and all.
No, not cafes. But then again, Delhi, everybody smokes hash. And the funny part was that I was in a circle that had trouble finding hash, and they were like, I don't know, like mid-30s, and they wanted to smoke up. And then second time in Delhi, I was in different circles, and I was like, okay, so basically everybody smokes hash in the city. And when you reach that point, which is obviously all around the world the case, but especially in India, since it's from here, which makes it even more accessible and logical to legalize it. It has to be legalized. Yeah, of course. It's just that the reason it's not being legalized, that's more important. The reason it's not being legalized...
Yeah, society looks down upon you.
No, it's because there's more money to be made if it's illegal, and that also accounts for the Netherlands. So it's a lot of black money that can be poured into the economy,
right.
Which is very convenient. And it's the same for India. You know, this whole weed hash thing and the people that control it or the people that benefit from it like it like this, because they get bribes, they get their commissions on looking away, they get their whole, you know, it's a whole ecosystem of people's livelihoods now. And if they legalize it, it gets taxed and they don't see that cut because it goes into the government, and then a road gets built from that money, and they would rather have their own cash instead of that road or some street lights or some.
Yeah, it's probably one of the big reasons why U.S. is legalizing it in a big way.
U.S., it's because the elites just started to riot against it. So the people that started to riot against it in the United States were people in power. So it wasn't the people themselves. It was basically the people in the government of Colorado that said, like, guys, I think we could make our jobs and our... you know, our state a lot easier and better if we just get that tax money, because we actually need funds, you know. So the, when things only change because of a need, you know, just like, necessity is the mother of all creation. It's only because Colorado was bankrupt as fuck and they had to build and they just needed the tax money. So that's why they legalized it. And it's all beautiful and so good, but it's not that they were doing it for the people. Like, yeah, we really want you to smoke weed. No, we need the tax money. That's why we're going to do it. That's why California legalized it, because California's bankrupt, the third world country bankrupt almost. And India can stretch it for a long time, but
all right.
I think it will be legalized at some point.
All right, Andreas, that was kind of interesting, talking about various subjects in India and Airbnb and weed.
Yeah.
So we'll be probably talking in the future as well, like a series with Andreas. This is episode
No,
one.
You should have someone else. This is my episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Just there one episode
for
guests. There
will be a couple other Airbnb guests as well. So this will be our first podcast, and we have with us Amsterdamian. How do you call yourself?
Yeah, Amsterdamian.
Amsterdamian. Andreas.
Flying Dutchman.
Flying Dutchman, yeah. Alright, peace out, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys in the next episode. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Don't smoke weed.